You are listening to the award-winning The Young Jerks with Mike Crawford.
Welcome to the show, Mike Crawford. I'm still alive. Just did the first week of COVID for me ever. But I think I'm healed up. The show's last week, you may have noticed, I was definitely feeling the COVID-19, feeling much better. So much to talk about tonight and this week. We got a special guest waiting in the green room. I just noticed he just did show up. We got two guests, actually, in the green room. We got two great guests tonight. We're going to speak to Danny Carson in a little bit about the worker safety issue. We'll hopefully take some phone calls tonight. I feel like we lit up the world with Trulieve again. Trulieve, the Trulieve whistleblowers, the last two shows. Just we'll definitely take calls. You know, we're going to speak to the special guest first before we take your calls, but we will take calls tonight. Let's bring up the special guest. We have a state senator from Massachusetts, the Massachusetts state senator. I'm still like my, you can tell. I need water. I need the water. You can tell. We have a Massachusetts state senator here on the show tonight. We're going to speak to him about this independent oversight of Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission, probably needed now more than ever. Something just happened with the Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission. We might talk about that tonight. Let's bring him up right now. He's in the green room. Let's have him introduce himself because he'll do a much better job than I will tonight. Massachusetts State Senator Michael O'More, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I hope I'm not causing all that anxiety and issues with the drinking.
No, it's me coming back from COVID.
Okay. All right.
I still have like the, I don't know what you call it, but I'm still getting rid of it. You know,
I had it years ago when it first came out.
You know. And you came out good?
Yes. Came out fine. Didn't have any long, as far as I know, didn't have any long lasting effects. So hopefully you'll be okay.
I think I'm going to be okay. Yeah, it's just been a week. It was a crazy week actually, but we only have a limited time. So I want to get right into you and what you're doing tonight. Tell us, number one, who you are, and then let's get into this independent oversight of the Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission, the bill that you put forward.
So, State Senator Michael Moore, I represent what is referred to as the Second Worcester District. And that encompasses the towns of Auburn, Grafton, Millbury, Shrewsbury, and about 35-40% the city of Worcester. And I've been in office now for about 14 years. And I've chaired committees on small business community development. I was the chairman for the Committee on Higher Education for 6 years. I chaired the Public Safety Committee, post audit, Senate Oversight, and currently I'm now the chairman of the Committee for Advanced IT and Cybersecurity and vice chair of Banking and, Financial Services, which is banking, insurance, and those types of professions.
Quite a number of interests there because cyber and financial, especially right now. But we want to talk about cannabis tonight. Tell us about this independent oversight of Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission, your bill that you're sponsoring, what it would do, what it means.
So basically what happened was, look, cannabis is a new industry for Massachusetts. We all want to make sure that it's up and running appropriately, efficiently, and it gets the support of the government and the resources that it's needed. So basically what happened was I had a constituent operating a business in my district that really got me to, that really brought me into a closer working relationship with the Cannabis Control Commission. And that's where I started seeing a lot of the inefficiencies in the coordination between the Cannabis Control Commission and the Massachusetts Department of Agricultural Resources, the lack of communication, I should say, how I had one company that basically, according to statute, They had a product come in that had some contamination. They self-reported as they should have. And then it almost got flipped around where they were the bad entity, and we couldn't get we couldn't get timely results, timely communication. We saw all these other issues going on with the marijuana content labels that can't be trusted. We saw the issue that happened out in Western Mass with the worker safety issues. So talking to my staff, I was originally thinking about maybe more of an ombudsman type process where, you know, if you had a company that was having issues with the CCC and how they were conducting their investigation, how they were being treated or not treated, that there'd be a voice for them. But then looking over what we have done in the past to try to improve efficiencies, try to change the culture of agencies so that they're more willing to work with the constituents or the industries that they're supposed to be working with, we thought we'd follow the format that we did with the state police and the Department of Transportation, where we had a separate organization that came in that's not under the control of the CCC, but they're in there watching the daily activities, to make sure that they're appropriately dealing with their constituency, which are the businesses, appropriately handling their responsibilities on how they conduct the investigations, to make sure that there's no abuse of their authority, to make sure there's no abuse of the investigation, make sure that they understand what the scope of their work is supposed to be. One thing I saw in this was that these are regulatory investigations. These are not murder investigations or criminal investigations where you're taking people to grand jury. And there's just very little communication. Their role should be helping these businesses come into compliance so that they can be up running. You know, part of the reason is, part of the justification, I think, that the voters wanted this was they saw that the drug part of it and the effects, well, you know, that wasn't working. It really wasn't the direction that the society and the state, people in the state wanted to go. They wanted this to be an organized, well-run industry, producing jobs, bringing in revenue to the local government and to the state government, and have that money and revenue go back to the citizenry. And what was resulting in, we had an agency that I think was just being overly heavy-handed, and that they were not working with the industries the way they were supposed to be working with. So I thought, you know, that this would be the best way to do it, to have someone that can come in there, watch them on a daily basis, see what they're producing, see how they're treating the constituency, see how the investigation is being done. And that's one aspect that we have of this legislation, is to make sure that they get appropriate training on how to do regulatory investigations.
These are all great points that you're bringing up, because like transparency and non-responsiveness, I think, is like the biggest issue for the Cannabis Control Commission. Like we were the ones that broke the Lorna McMurray story when she passed away, and it was so many months after, and the Cannabis Control Commission found out about it, the commissioners from the Boston Globe that, you know, reported what we reported. So they found out from the media, their own commissioners, which, like, they're covering it up, like their investigations even among themselves, which is really, to me, like, there's a problem.
And Michael, that's part of the problem too. If you look at, since the creation of the Cannabis Control Commission, dating back to April of last year, we have a mediation going on between the commissioners and the director and the employees below on whose role, who's responsible for certain aspects of the commission and their responsibilities. To me, that's ridiculous. We've got a commission they're supposed to be charged with the oversight, and then you've got an investigative or regulatory staff that they should be overseeing. I don't understand how we have an agency where the regulatory staff underneath is not complying with the commissioners, or there's a mediation to find out who runs the agency.
That's what it seems like to me, is like the executives at the agency, Sean Collins, I'll say it by name, he's been there the longest. If you look at the commissioners, there's been a lot of turnover. Nobody is serving their full term, it looks like. So he's become the power guy. And I think it's very interesting You know, I would love to know what's actually going on behind the scenes of that mediation myself. But going back,
Mike, if you look at the statute, it's, the executive director, as you stated, Mr. Collins, and the chair of the commission, their responsibilities over the commission are basically the same. So Sean and the chair have the same basically role or responsibilities, but the executive director reports to the commission. So I understand that they may have duplication and responsibilities, but the executive director still reports to the commission, and that's where the oversight should be coming in.
Absolutely. They should have power over him due to the reporting, which I think I've stuck. Like, for me, the worker issue and the safety issue got ignored until this year. And it seemed like for the first time I saw some of that at a meeting where the commissioners were actually making them report. So I think we need more reporting.
So along that line, Michael, so basically to summarize what you had asked earlier, what this will, the special unit that I would like to see in there would have a director, the special unit that would be appointed by the inspector general. So not from the commission. The employees would be full-time employees dedicated. It would be employees of the inspector general's office, dedicated to just to doing the oversight of the CCC. What they would monitor for efficiency and transparency, as you were saying, is community host agreements to make sure that they're not being abused or that they're in compliance with the statute and what they're supposed to be in, what the agreements are in line with, what the purpose of the agreements were established for. Investigative and audit procedures. This gets back to how they are dealing with the companies that are coming in there and making sure that there's not abuse and that the things being done in a timely manner. Organizational structure, and also then in management functions to make sure that there is some cohesiveness between the commission and the regulatory staff.
Now, Lord McMurray, the TrueLeaf worker who died, we found out after the fact that the TrueLeaf had been under investigation even before she had passed away. And then a year later, the investigation is still open. We know nothing from the Cannabis Control Commission. Is that a kind of instance when we would actually maybe find out what the heck is going on that year-long plus investigation?
Yeah, depending on what the information is, because you have to remember, no matter what we do as far as transparency, as far as some victims have rights. So obviously there would be probably some information that would be redacted just to protect the victim. But yeah, this would require a yearly report on investigations, what the outcomes of those are, and there would be some transparency in how the investigations were conducted. But I'm not gonna look, I don't want to mislead you. Obviously, every investigation, because there are personal things of personal nature that come up or that could affect whether it's a lawsuit or some sort of legal proceeding, sometimes you have to have some information that's redacted or at least remain confidential until the closure of the investigation. So I'm not going to, I don't want to mislead you and say everything's going to become open, immediately come open, but there is a process that would be followed.
If people do want to support this, like, you know, we do have quite a few listeners right now. I'm seeing on the chat too. How would people go about supporting this becoming law, this bill?
Well, the bill right now, because we just had the filing session, bills receive docket numbers, and they will be receiving bill numbers. The docket number for this is Senate, so it's SD 1900. That I would ask that they call their state senator or their state representative and ask that they co-sponsor this legislation.
So it's SD 1900.
SD 1900.
I'm going to add that right to the screen too, so everyone can see it who's watching live right now. Hopefully that's up there. SD 1900, Independent Oversight of the Mass Cannabis Control Commission. Can contact your state senator and the reps too. Is that like both?
Yes,
or is that
yes, because we have the option of, we have a filing period for our own legislation. Then there's a period of time we can co-sponsor other individuals, other representatives' legislation. So obviously, if I get, there's 40 senators. If I had 40 state senators sign on to this, and 70 representatives. That, you know, the more people who sign on to the legislation, the stronger the bill is, those chances of the bill moving forward.
Awesome. And like, who appoints this? Because, you know, people are starting to ask some questions about it in the chat. But who would actually appoint this oversight board? Would they be appointed positions, or would they just be from the AG, I think you said? Like,
no, the Inspector General. Yeah. So the Inspector General would appoint these auditors. Now, the auditors, again, they work for the Inspector General's office. They may be, their office location would be in the CCC, the Cannabis Control Commission, similar to what we have for the state police and the Department of Transportation. When we did the reforms there, these individuals work there. They don't report to anyone within those agencies. They just have direct access to all the documents and materials that they need to do their research and review. So these individuals would be, they'd be working in the CCC, but they actually are employed and work under someone else's supervision.
A lot of support for this coming in the chat. I'm going to post some of the comments. One of the questions was who oversees the Cannabis Control Commission currently?
Right now, it's an independent authority. So you have different commissioners I don't remember all of them, but the governor appoints someone, the attorney general has an appointment, the treasurer has an appointment. So there's different constitutional offices that have different appointment authorities of the different commissioners on the Cannabis Control Commission.
And people are asking about the local level too, because there's a lot of issues with the cities and towns as well. Would this have any oversight on the cities and towns or not? Just the state?
Just the state. This would just be on the CCC. The only tie-in you could get to the local level is making sure that the host agreements are in compliance with the statute, and that, you know, we had at the very beginning of the legalization process and the host community agreements being negotiated from between the towns and the businesses. Sometimes there were some allegations that communities were seeking financial rewards or financial
kickbacks, extra money for charity sometimes. Yeah.
Well, not kickbacks, but more the fact that
legal money. Yeah.
They wanted money for a fire truck when the fire truck may not be related to it. The host community agreement is supposed to be dealing with getting revenues that tie into the operation to deal with the impact of the facility being in that community. So there were complaints that some of the host agreements were requiring the purchases or funds that went outside of those areas.
And people are asking about that, who oversees the municipalities. There's been actually some reform passed at the state, so hopefully that does help a little bit with the cities and towns. You did pass a reform recently on that, right?
Yes, we did. So we did pass a reform for the host community agreement. So that there has been some clarification on that.
Excellent. And we focus quite a bit on the workers. That's our big thing now, especially the health and safety. And we have someone that is, we're going to be interviewing in a second, who does a lot of work with workers. He was actually a co-worker of Lorna McMurray, a really good friend of hers. And he's been like organizing like the local cannabis workers, and they have some things that they want to see happen on the state level. And I just wanted to ask you if you'd be like interested in thinking about those or supporting those. Some of those like cannabis worker safety reforms. One is mandating that larger cultivation sites be required to create internal employee-run health and safety committees and or mandate the hiring of health and safety positions, just like they are required for compliance. Would you support something like that?
Yes, actually, so I agree with, and actually those are good ideas. Something my office and I, my staff and I have been talking about is, if you look at how the Department of Environmental Protection and the Division of Labor and Industries work, you have DEP will oversee the environmental impact. And then you have, say, like removing asbestos. They will do the testing. They will make sure, look at the environmental safety aspect of it. Then you have a Division of Labor and Industries that comes in and they oversee the workplace practices, that you have to remove it wearing a respirator, those types of things. So I was also looking at that type of initiative to see it's all, think of OSHA on the federal level and this being a state level entity, which we already have in existence for other labor, for other types of manufacturing or other types of industries. But I do think there should be something in there that we have a state level enforcement or some sort of state level of regulation or protection for the workers.
Awesome. And what about funding health studies or surveys of the largest cultivation workers in the state?
I think that's something with the revenue that's coming in, that's something that would be a great initiative to have some of the money put back into the industry. And that's actually the funding for this. We call for the funding for this special unit to come up, to come from the revenues that are generated from this industry. And I also think that's a great idea of a great way to spend some of the revenues coming in.
I love it. And there's one other one that they're asking to, then they may have others. I want to actually bring Danny up in a second, but finding a statewide guide on best practices for health and safety in cannabis cultivation, as Colorado has already done in 2017. Would you support something that like that, a state, like just, you know, the health and safety guide for the cultivation sites?
Conceptually, yes, until I actually see the study. I don't want to say yes and then look at the study and see something I have an issue with. Conceptually, I say yes.
Awesome. I really appreciate everything that you're saying tonight, and that you have such a foresight to come up with this, because I think it's really desperately needed. We've been like racking our brains, like, how can we fix this? And we saw your bill and we got really excited. So I want to bring up Danny right now too. Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Mike.
I'm sure you have some comments on the state senator. Danny is a coworker of Lorna McMurray, who passed away. He actually, Danny hired, was, you know, part of the hiring of Lorna McMurray. So Danny feels a lot of responsibility and has been doing a lot of great work with workers. So I just wanted to make sure you guys said hi to each other. And Danny, I'm sure you have some comment too on what's going on tonight.
Yeah. First off, Senator, thank you so much for your time tonight. What you're doing.
My pleasure. Thank you.
It's very important work. I think there's absolutely reform needed in a lot of areas of the CCC's work. And, you know, coming from my background, I'm a disabled veteran. I'm an Air Force veteran. I served for 6 years on active duty. We had an inspector general on our base who had oversight of all of our policies and procedures that we followed. And I think that's very beneficial. There's a lot of things with workers. There's a lot of things that the CCC has like kind of failed to do. They haven't pulled in the Department of Public Health to do any kind of, you know, health hazard evaluations or anything yet. But I do think that with some of this reform, that maybe that will push things forward more, you know, and really having support and backing and even bringing up this conversation in general, you know, can gears in the right direction. So I thank you for that. And I look forward to really, you know, the outcome of this bill and what it can really do for everybody in this industry.
Thank you. Thank you. And actually, Danny, thank you for your service. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, sir.
You're welcome. And, you know, and Danny, while you're on here, the success of this bill is really going to be based on how much support I can get from internally the legislature and also externally. Anyone associated with the industry, whether it's the workers, the owners of the companies, everyone reaching out to my colleagues, you know, expressing the urgency and the need for this to be done. So yeah. This is where, you know, I can file the legislation and work with people, but this is where I need a grassroots effort to come forward and really help push and drive this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I personally, you know, I run a health and safety committee for cannabis workers in Massachusetts. It's a little volunteer group that we have. And we're also putting together a coalition with MassCosh, with the union folks at the UFCW, as well as other experts, industrial hygienists, things like that. And we'll definitely, you know, be talking about this at our next meeting.
Thank you.
To really involve this, because this is really the first step in the reform of the CCC is adding that oversight. So I think that's extremely beneficial, and we'll be sure to speak on that on Wednesday when we meet.
Thank you. Great. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, sir.
Thank you, Danny, so much. And we'll be talking to you a little more later in the show, hopefully.
No problem.
All right. My name is Mike Crawford. This is the Young Jerks. We have a state senator, Michael Moore, with us tonight. It's awesome to speak to him tonight about the bill that we're talking about. Taking your phone calls too, if anyone wants to call in. I haven't turned on the phone line yet, but I will right now. You got to be real quick because we're running out of time. You know what? I'm actually going to put the phone number on the screen so you can see it if you're a new listener. 978-560-3155 is the phone number. We're also putting comments and instant feedback. So if you have questions or comments there as well, I really want to thank the state senator, Michael Moore. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. I know I'm sure you have other engagements. Before you leave it, are there other bills that you wanted to kind of talk about tonight? I know that you have a body cam bill and a bunch of other bills. Is there anything you wanted to kind of shout out on the show tonight to of interest?
Again, with these, first I want to thank you for having me on the show and actually getting this out there, because again, this is how the bill is going to get any success, is by having getting support from the public. I've got legislation dealing with eye care for children right now. You know, if a child wants to go to a public school, into schools, they have to have their eyes checked. But surprisingly, once that's done, there's no follow through to make sure they have to get the treatment or the glasses. So I served on a commission with Representative Barber, and the commission came up with this task force and this legislation that would establish a registry to make sure that children, that once they receive their eye exam, that if there is an issue with their reading ability, and I'm not talking the ability to read, the ability to see, that there's a follow through to make sure that they get glasses. So there's that.
Love it.
I've got some other legislation dealing with drones, and to make sure that those are regulated properly. Because right now there's no there's federal guidance on it, but we don't have any federal or state legislation on the operation of drones and when police would need a search warrant, what they can and can't do with them. So we have some issues there. I know in this committee, we're going to be looking at some privacy issues, that there's some legislation dealing with that. So I've got 88 bills that I filed.
All right. A lot of bills. You know what? We missed a call. I'm going to call them back right now and see if they pick up. This is what we do on my show when I'm
okay.
Going solo. Hello.
Hello.
You call the Young Jerks and you had a question for the Mass State Senator Michael Moore?
I do.
You're live. What's your question? What's your comment?
Hi. I'm calling from Waltham today, and I'm deeply concerned about safety issues. The death of Lorna McMurray is not only tragic, but absolutely unacceptable. And I think that the type of lack of oversight with the Cannabis Control Commission is absolutely associated with the types of lack of oversight that we're seeing with municipalities. So I'd love to see more oversight with municipalities. In Waltham right now, we actually are dealing with a mayor who refuses to sign host community agreements. And so I would really like to urge the senator to just answer a little bit more directly. Is there a time frame by which an executor must sign a host community agreement once a special permit is signed?
Thank you for your question, State Senator.
Not that I know of. I don't know if we have it. I don't think we have in statute a time frame. I can double check on that, but I don't think we have in statute that is in statute. So...
do you think
I'm just kind of curious, why would the mayor not want to sign a host community agreement?
The caller's still there? I think we might have lost him. Let me see.
I'm still here, and I would love to hear an answer from Senator Moore. I would love to hear your insight on that.
Did you not hear him? He did kind of give a little response. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it looks like we have an issue. That's weird. He did, he's not sure that's available. He's wondering why the mayor wouldn't actually, want to sign a host community agreement.
Okay. Well, I think that you've answered the question to the best of
our ability. Let me ask you a question about this, because this is interesting. Like, because, you know, we could obviously ask the state senator to, you know, come back with a law that, you know, limits it to a certain time. But would that actually help you? Would that help or hurt you? Because it might, you know, exclude some people that might, like, if we said it was a 1 year wait or 2 year, they had to sign it. Maybe someone would get in 2 years, 1 month. You know what I mean? So I wonder if it wouldn't even be beneficial. What do you think?
That's interesting.
What's that?
You know, I'm not enough on the legal.
I think we're losing you. I really appreciate the phone call. We're the Young Jerks. And do you want to say anything else on that, Mike, Senator Moore?
Yeah, I guess if you're the executive of that community, if you're not happy with the host agreement, I guess that would give you, I would think, if I'm not happy with what's being offered and negotiated, and I wanted to continue the negotiation for what I feel is better, more beneficial for the community, I can see at that point not signing the host agreement. But I'd have to look, I would have to look deeper into the law to see if there is a time frame for that. I don't remember offhand.
Yeah, I don't believe there is. I haven't ever heard there is, but, you know, it's a tough situation on the city and town level, definitely. I really appreciate your time tonight, State Senator Michael Moore, first time on the show. We were good to you. We were nice to you, right? We
were. Yes, you were. You're very nice.
Yeah, we would love to have you back on anytime you have a bill, anything you want to talk about in the show. Really love to have you back. I really thank you for coming on tonight. If you had to wrap it up, how would you just give the final kind of push on the bill that we're talking about, the oversight bill for the Cannabis Control Commission?
I would wrap it up and say, look, if you believe that the Cannabis Control Commission needs reforms, needs more oversight, then reach out to your elected officials, reach out to your industry partners, and have them and you call your elected officials and weigh in on this legislation. If we are going to be successful, I could say me or you, but we, to get this bill passed, to get this legislation moving, we need a grassroots effort. We need calls and support going into my colleagues so they understand the immediacy and the importance of this legislation.
I think it's a good idea. It's something to definitely discuss, and I think people need to research, all of this, because I think this, you brought up so many good points tonight. We need much more transparency, and like, I like to have it a timeline, like, you know, just the 1 year on an investigation to know what's going on. I really thank you, State Senator Michael Moore, for being here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And if any other issues come up, please feel free to reach out. I'm more than happy to come back.
And people can reach out via email too, right, if they want to follow up with you?
Yes. Yeah. My email is michael.moore@masenate.gov. So michael.moore@masenate.gov.
Thank you so much, State Senator.
Thank you.
We're the Young Jerks, and we just got off, you know, with a quick interview, which was great, with State Senator Michael Moore. And we're going to bring Danny back on the show right now too. Danny, what do you think about all this?
I think it's, you know, it's a great start. It's where we want to go, you know, as kind of a community and an industry.
I'm going to stop you there. Your sound is a little wonky tonight. I don't know if we can.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Usually it's much better. Let's try that. Talk again.
All right. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's every time. I don't know. It's weird. Something's not right. I wonder. Sometimes if people sometimes if you jump on and jump off, maybe it will change. So let's try that. Leave the stream for a second and come back.
All right.
I'm Mike Crawford. This is the Young Jerks. So we're gonna try to get Danny back on the show, because he always has, you know, Danny always has great information to share with our audience about what they're doing right now. And a lot of the questions tonight came from Danny. Like, he's been, you know, they've been doing the work. Danny and the workers have been really doing the work lately. So I want to thank him, Danny, so much. Let's try Danny again.
All right.
How you doing?
Can you hear me okay?
Let's keep talking. Much better. See?
Okay.
He's still getting it a little bit when you move, but it's better.
All right.
Noticeably better.
All right. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really appreciate the senator coming on. You know, we haven't seen a lot of people speaking out about the CCC, about changes that need to happen. And, you know, a lot of us, I think, a lot of workers, a lot of people that are in the industry or near the industry in some way, shape, or form really want to see a lot of change happen. And I think this is just the beginning. I definitely, you know, support everything that I've seen of this bill so far and heard about, and definitely looking forward to researching it more. I think if more people, you know, like the senator came on and started speaking, we'd see a lot more change happen quickly. So I hope that, you know, the senator can really push other people to come forward in his types of positions to make change for the people that really need it, especially the workers.
We're getting that buzz again with you. I don't know what's going on today, but
let's
just get to the point then. Let's just get right to it, because you have a big meeting coming up. I noticed, I think it's Wednesday, right?
Yep. Yep. Wednesday, we're going to have our first coalition for cannabis safety, worker safety in Massachusetts. So this is going to, you know, really encompass anybody and everybody that wants to take part in worker safety and changes at the local and.
We got another call. You want to take the call? Let's take the call.
Why not?
Oh, it's a little delayed on my end.
Yeah, you're listening at the same time. You're on live on the show. Who's this?
It's Alicia.
Oh, what's up, Alicia?
Not much. Just calling to show my support and say hi and see how you guys are doing. And actually wanted to comment on Senator Moore's bit.
What did you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a chance to get the ball rolling. I feel like it needs to happen everywhere, though. He's not wrong about the municipalities and stuff like that. I just don't know. I'm going to try to do stuff over here in my end in California, because it's after reading that New York Times article, the LA Times article, I've been kind of blown away with how they treat immigrant workers in the marijuana field.
Wait till tomorrow night's show.
I'm going to.
Again, for people that don't know, who just listening tonight, Alicia Nicole is Lorna McMurray's sister cousin. I finally got it almost right.
Sister cousin.
She's a sister cousin of Lorna McMurray, who passed away, the True Leaf worker. And you know, tomorrow night I'm going to call it monumental. I think the show tomorrow night, I don't want to hype it up too much, but I think it's going to be a big show, and it's going to touch on True Leaf and immigrants. So stay tuned tomorrow night. Major whistleblower. Yeah.
I'm going to be on it. I need to get that StreamYard link from you later so I can just pop in on camera.
There you go. So what did you think about tonight? The state senator too. He even went beyond his bill. It seemed like he was supportive of some of the other things that Danny and his group are now advocating for.
I can generally tell a good person when I see one, and I can tell that he's genuinely not a like money orientated person per se. He's actually a people orientated person. He seems like he really wants to help like the actual state, the people that are in the state, and help the workers and whatnot. He's just trying to get the ball rolling. I mean, it just takes time. That's all we have is time.
Yeah, it felt good. I felt like the same thing, same vibe. What do you think, Diddy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think like he said, he's got like 88 bills or something like that he's working on. And I think that this one in particular is extremely, you know, it's a substantial bill that could make a lot of change for a lot of people. As far as, you know, him as a human being, I think he's the perfect person for what he's doing. And I'm hopeful, you know, that he can with his push and pull that he has in his areas that more people will come forward, you know, like him, to be able to help and support.
Thank you so much for calling in, Alicia.
You're very welcome, Mike. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
See you tomorrow night.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. I gotta admit, I'm living the dream right now. I got a show right now. I can take phone calls, produce myself. Like 3 years ago, this was not possible for us. Like, I got everything I need now. Like, it's amazing. Love this. Love what we're doing. I love that we have a state senator on and we can have him talk to Danny tonight and Alicia, the family can call in. I love what we're doing. I want to thank Danny. I want to thank the workers. I want to thank our listeners, our viewers. You're making a difference. You really are. I know people have been telling me we're making a difference. Our coverage is changing the industry. I still kind of doubt that, but not for the people. I think you're changing the industry, and I think we maybe inspire you a little bit and give you some tools and knowledge and relationships and bring people together. Danny, we're fielding messages for you right now. Caleb Teske is asking, Danny, call me when you're done if you got a minute. He's on LinkedIn listening. Another Facebook user writes, way to go, Danny, love. Alicia Nicole, who just called in, she wrote, Danny, with a huge exclamation points. And Alicia Nicole writes, Mike, we're all making a difference together. So that's what it feels like lately. So, Danny, unfortunately, your sound is not the best tonight. So let's get right to the meeting. It's going to be Wednesday. What time? How do people find out about it? How do people get involved? I'm really excited because I know kind of some of the people that are involved now and how we're working together and there's no egos. And it's just I feel like a good movement is happening right now. And I really feel like you're at the center of this. So I'm very thankful for you. So how do people get involved for this Wednesday meeting? Because I think this is going to be a big meeting for workers, both locally and nationally. You can get involved in this. What's going on Wednesday, Danny?
Yeah, I'll share the link to the meeting, Mike, with you, so you can post that out if anybody wants to join. It's going to be a meeting. We're really just bringing together anybody that wants to help, that can help, that has a voice, that needs a place to share their voice. All about and around worker safety and cannabis. It's going to be Wednesday night, 5 o'clock. There's also going to be after that another live event that you can join in about worker safety, hosted by Elevated Northeast. But I would like to, you know, just point out our coalition is really just about giving place for and collaborating, because right now, really, you know, there are a lot of egos in this industry, and sometimes egos and not giving a place for anybody to speak up leaves out really great ideas for change. And that's just not going to happen with the coalition. We're going to, you know, listen to everybody's opportunities for growth and change and be able to support each other through it and move things, because we have, you know, so many people interested in helping. And so, you know, I'm really grateful for everybody's support that's coming out in the last 2 weeks. I've spoke with a lot of great people at NECAN, and really getting the conversation started around worker safety. And, you know, this week I'm seeing things come out from the national level COSH that's reporting on the like top 10 worst places to work, and Trulieve's going to be one of them. They've been nominated.
Oh boy. So, yes, this is amazing. You know, this is a national organization, the Council of Health and Safety, basically. This is the national organization. Like, you know, my friend, you know, used to work for a science council group, you know, and it's basically every kind of science group has their association. And so this is their association, you know, like this is going to be major. I'm glad that Trulieve is going to be included in that. And that's what I like about this too, is we're working outside of cannabis too. It's not just the cannabis industry. This is a worker safety issue. There are people outside of cannabis that care about this. So I want to thank you so much, Danny, and hopefully you'll call in tomorrow night. We'll get the sound worked out, because tomorrow night's going to be an amazing show, and we're going to have more opportunity again to promote what you're doing tomorrow night. I want to thank you for calling in. I want to thank the state senator for spending time with us, Michael Moore. I also want to thank all our listeners and our callers. We took a couple calls. We got Alicia Nicole calling in tonight. We also had another caller. I don't think I got her name, but she was from Waltham. I really liked that call. Unfortunately, we're having some technical. But it's okay. I'm going to be fine. And we also have this Rockwell event that we really haven't talked about much, but it's coming up in Somerville. May 7th, we're making major moves with this. We're going to have UFC W 1459 and UFC W 1455, both there supporting Saskia Van James from Mass Recreational Consumer Council is going to be there. And I believe Danny's going to be there as well, right, Danny? Hopefully.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yes. And Mohawk Glass is supporting. We have some other sponsors that we'll be announcing soon. I believe tickets just went on sale for this thing. So we're going to do a lot of promotion this week on that as well. Rockwell.org if you want to find out more about that info. But it's the Cannabis, it's the Young Jerks Cannabis Workers Awards. So we're going to be, the whole night is going to be about this whole movement and supporting cannabis workers in the cannabis industry right now and raising attention to this issue. And I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night, Tuesday night, True Leaf Whistleblower Show. Man, if you, yeah, just wait till tomorrow night. I'm not even going to say anything else. Everybody needs to be listening and sharing tomorrow's show, Tuesday night, Young Jerk, 7 p.m. We'll be back. Again, I want to thank you, Danny Carson. I want to thank the State Senator, Michael Moore, for being on the show tonight. And I want to thank our phone calls and all of our instant feedback. Some of that we posted and some we didn't. Thank you all. We'll see you tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Young Jerks, Mike Crawford checking out. Thank you so much.